The Dolly McCarthy Show is sponsored by First Command Financial Services, reducing debt, building savings, protecting your future, pursuing your goals. These things are important to most of us, and they're important to the hundreds of thousands of First Command has served since 1958. First Command Financial Services. Call them at 630-756-0193, extension 201, www.firstcommand.com. And brought to you by DuPage Credit Union. It's a new year, and DuPage Credit Union is celebrating by giving away an incredible prize each month, valued up to $1,000. To learn how you can win February's prize of a $500 gift card to Naperville Jewelers, visit DuPage CU or stop by a DuPage Credit Union branch office and ask about 12 months, 12 prizes. That's DuPageCU.com. The Dolly McCarthy Show is also brought to you by Arthur Murray Dance in Naperville and now in Oak Brook. They didn't invent dancing, just the best way to teach it. Book your classes now at 630-355-6240 or visit their website at www.arthurmurraynaperville.com. And by Innovative Orthodontic Centers, Enhancing Smiles for Life. You can reach them at 630-848-6960 for a free consultation or visit the website at www.orthocenters.org. They have locations in Chicago, Naperville, and in Shorewood. The Dolly McCarthy Show is also proudly sponsored by Belgio's Catering. They put the special in special events. Check them out on Facebook or head to their website. Lots of great pictures there of their delicious food, www.belgios.com. And by Pope Family Dental, located in downtown Naperville, veteran-owned and veteran-friendly. Check them out at popefamilydental.com, or you can reach them at 630-961-5851. And by Sullivan's Steakhouse. Sullivan's offers guests a unique Naperville steakhouse experience with delectable food, fun cocktails, and live music, enticing guests to untie, unwind, and uncork. Check out Sullivan's Steakhouse in downtown Naperville. And by Mad Landscaping. Let them do your spring maintenance. You can reach them at 630-664-1612. The Dolly McCarthy Show is also proudly sponsored by Stifel Nicolaus, helping people manage their money and investments for over 100 years, stifel.com. And by All Service Limousine, where service is their middle name. Book your next ride at www.877getlimo.com. Tell Mario that Dolly sent you. Hey, Mario. And by the Strahl Team, Remax of Naperville, serving the western suburbs for over 18 years and lifelong area residents. Contact Brian and Chris Strahl. That's S-T-R-A-U-E-L. Or give them a call at 630-222-1131. Whoops, I forgot the website. www.bstrahl, that's bstraul.illinoisproperty.com. And again, that number is 630-222-1131 if you're looking to buy, sell, or rent a home. The Dolly McCarthy Show is also sponsored by Little Rainey's Chocolates and Cakes, specializing in custom cakes for all occasions. Check out their Facebook page. Lots of great pictures on there. And you know I've posted a ton of them because that's some bakery, let me tell you. Little Rainey's Chocolates and Cakes. Say hello to Jackie for me there. The Dolly McCarthy Show is also sponsored by Napier Settlement, where history comes to play. Check out www.napiersettlement.com. And finally, the Dolly McCarthy Show is sponsored by the Naperville Trolley and Tours. Naperville Trolley and Tours has four beautiful trolleys for weddings, bar hops, birthday parties, light tours, bat and bar mitzvahs, and much more. It's always more fun on the Naperville Trolley. Ding, ding.
Wow! I feel good. I feel good. I knew that I wouldn't. So good, so good. I got you.
Oh! It's the Dolly McCarthy Show.
I love my aunt Dolly.
And I love you too, my little Jakey. Hey, everybody, it's Dolly McCarthy. Welcome to the Dolly McCarthy Show on Internet Radio. We are on Blog Talk Radio, and we are on now on Slam Internet Radio and on 89.9 FM. So welcome to all my new listeners, and thank you all for tuning in. As you know, this show airs every Thursday morning from 9:30 until 10:30, and I am your host. Thanks for tuning in to The Good Show, where every week I bring you good topics to discuss, good news, good guests, and, you know, at least one good laugh. And I do welcome your calls. Today we do have some giveaways, some tickets, free tickets. We got tickets to see one of my favorite country bands, Lady Antebellum and Kip Moore. They're going to be playing next Wednesday, February 26th, 6 o'clock at the Allstate Arena. Got tickets courtesy of the Allstate Arena and Jam Productions. Would you like to go? I bet you would. If you want to win these tickets, what you got to do is like my Facebook page or start to follow me on Twitter. That's a new name. Twitter, and we will pick a name from those that did like the Dolly McCarthy Show page and those that followed on Twitter. We will just pick a random name there, and you will be our winner for a pair of tickets to see Lady Antebellum and Kip Moore next Wednesday night at the Allstate Arena. And we also have tickets for one of our special guests today. We'll get more into that in a little bit. But first, I want to do a shout-out to Joe, who is from Alaska. He listens to my show. Hey, Joe from Alaska. His last name is Kodiak. Just wanted to say, hey, Joe, thanks for listening. And a shout-out all the way in Arizona to Marilyn Caldarala. Marilyn, I hope I didn't botch up your last name. I think I got it because I'm Italian. Caldarala. Wanted to say hello to you. Thanks for listening every week. And she always posts a nice comment on my Facebook page after she listens. And I guess Marilyn was originally from Chicago. So I guess she gets a little slice, no pun intended, of Chicago slice. I'm referring to Chicago pizza. A little slice of Chicago listening to this show. Let's see, what else is going on? We're on flood watch here in the Chicago area. We have got a ton of snow, and the temperatures are rising. And so with that, the snow is melting. So people are making sure, watching their basements so that nobody floods. This is what happens this time of year. So my wish to all of you is that you stay warm and especially dry. That could be a really tough situation for people. Let's see. I do feel... I love to hear your good stories, and I'm hoping to take some time and get some callers in, and we can talk about that. But we have a jam-packed show today, lots of good guests, and we'll get to all of them soon. But first, what good things happened in your life today? What happened in this past week? Good things. I'd love to hear good things. I feel a strong sense of accomplishment, let me tell you, that I'm finally emptying the trunk of my car of these Girl Scout cookies. I'm almost done delivering these Girl Scout cookies for my daughter. My daughter's in a Girl Scout troop. I used to be the leader, but I had to take a little bit of a back seat this year. I used to be the leader for two troops. Do you remember me talking about that last year? I had a blast doing it. It was the best thing I've ever done, really. Being a Girl Scout leader has been so rewarding, but I had to take a back seat. But now we've got the trunk full of Girl Scout cookies, and we're almost done. We're almost done emptying them out. So if you order Girl Scout cookies from me, make sure you're responding to my texts and my calls because I need to get rid of these cookies before I eat them all. Who doesn't love a good Girl Scout cookie? All right, well, let's see. We're done with some announcements. We do have, we got some other great announcements. Oh, my God, last week we had Asia Evans on the show. She's the Olympian, the women's Olympian bobsled competitor. And I'm happy to inform you, if you haven't seen it, that yesterday she took home a bronze. So, hey, Asia Evans, we're so proud of you that you medaled. And I was looking over the article about her, and here's what she said right after she won. Quote, "There's no other feeling like it. It's just bliss. This is what you work so hard and sacrifice so much for." Asia Evans, you're a winner. You're such an inspiration, and it was so fun talking to you last week on the show. And she said that she was going to come back and talk to us when she's back in town. And so we're looking forward to that. So congratulations to Asia Evans for making America proud on that bronze medal in the women's bobsled competition. Awesome. Way to go, girl. Okay, couple quick announcements before we take our first guest. Arthur Murray is having a guest party tomorrow night, Friday, February 21st, from 8 to 10. It's going to be held at their Naperville studios at 1911 Glacier Parkway in Naperville. Please RSVP. The number to call is 630-355-6240. You can always go to their website, Naperville Arthur Murray. And it's going to be a fun night. I'm going to try to get over there. But I got to get to the Naperville VFW fish fry first. This is the first fish fry of the season, so I got to get over there meeting some friends and veterans that I care very much for. So I'm going to meet them earlier for dinner, and then hopefully I can scoot over to Arthur Murray's guest party. They're going to be serving hors d'oeuvres and wine and dancing. Okay, not too much wine because there's going to be dancing involved, people. That could be dangerous. All right, the other thing I want to let you know about is Sunday, Buy Local Naperville is having their expo at Bricconi's Italian Restaurant on Royal St. George Drive, and that's going to be from 1:30 until 4:30. Bring the kids. They're going to have a cupcake decorating contest. It's going to be a really fun time. They're encouraging you to join Buy Local Naperville as they host this benefit. That benefits Women at Risk International and War Chest Boutique. Meet lots of local businesses that play a vital part of keeping our local economy strong. So stop by one of my favorite pizza joints in Naperville, Bricconi's Pizza. If you feel adventurous, ask for the Dolly Special. a couple other things really quick. Bike Bald, the Dolly McCarthy Show, is so proud to sponsor Bike Bald. Every month they're going to have a different event, and this is a group that raises money for children with cancer. Sunday, March 16th, that's a month from now, but it'll be here before you know it. At 10 a.m., they're going to have a pub crawl. It's called a Green Grub, actually. A Green Grub and Pub Crawl. It'll start at Quigley's Pub in Naperville, and then you'll ride. Yep, you're going to ride on your bicycle. There's not going to be any snow on the ground on March 16th. Heck no. You might have a little rain. We'll have to see how it goes. But then, you know, kind of like being in Ireland, right? You'll ride your bike to Muldoon's Pub in Wheaton and then back to Quigley's. So it's approximately 20-mile bike ride. And that's for Bike Bald. You can check out Bike Bald. They have a Facebook page that you can like, and I encourage you to do so because the woman that's running this, she's a real go-getter, and she works nonstop to raise money for childhood cancer. She's got a great story, too, and we'll have her on the show in the coming weeks, too. Quick reminder, Casa King County is having their dinner, their gala, What do you guys call it? Do you call it a gala or a gala? I've heard both, but they're having a gala and an auction. Dinner, dancing, and an auction on Saturday, March 1st at 5:30 at the Q Center in St. Charles, all for supporting Casa King County. And as you know, we've had Gloria Bunce on this show before to talk about what Casa does. Casa is the court-appointed special advocacy group that supports the abused and neglected children in King County. And there's many Casas. There's even one in DuPage County that I know of. This one is for Casa King County. I hope I'll be there. I hope you can join me for that. That is March 1st, and tickets are still available. You can go to Casa's website. I'm quickly looking over this material to find that for you. Aha! CasaKingCounty.org. Hey, that was easy. Okay, another great charity that you know we've been involved with. They have the Snowflake Shuffle in December, and now their annual auction is happening on Saturday, April 26th. This is for Tri-City Family Services, the benefit and auction, supporting Tri-City Family Services. Consider going. I am going to be there. I think I go to all these parties for nothing. I go because they're just amazing groups of people, and I'm so proud to be associated with them. The Dolly McCarthy Show is sponsoring this event as well. It's a silent auction, a live auction. There'll be some raffles, and they're going to be giving out the Golden Heart Awards, really sweet cocktails. And cocktails start at 5:30, dinner at 7 at the Lincoln Inn Banquets in Batavia. And that is all for TriCityFamilyServices.org. Check that out for tickets and more information. Whew! All right. Love to spread the good news, but we have a fantastic guest on the hold. You know, First Command Financial is a proud sponsor of the Dolly McCarthy Show, and Dan the Pold is usually calling in and checking in and educating all of us, but we have his sidekick on the line, Adam Parks. He's a financial consultant for First Command Financial Services. Adam, are you there?
I am here, Dolly. How you doing?
Hi, Adam. Good morning.
Good morning.
Thanks.
Hey, thanks for having me on the show. This is awesome.
Oh, you're so welcome. It's my pleasure. So today, well, first let me just say, let me do a proper introduction. Adam, I know that you were voted Best Investment Advisor by Naperville Magazine recently, so congratulations for that.
Thank you.
And you do sit on the executive board of the Naperville Chamber of Commerce. You're all over the place. You're a lead ambassador for Blessings in a Backpack. And how do you hold that all together and then manage your family with all the things that you're doing?
It's all about
managing everybody
balance,
else's,
right?
You're right about that. So let's talk about, we're going to talk about life insurance this week. Is that right?
Yeah, well, you know what?
First,
I just got to give a big shout-out to Joe in Alaska, because not only is he calling in on your, or listening to your show from Alaska, which is cool enough, but his last name is Kodiak. Come on. That's pretty cool. Anyway, yeah.
It sure is. Hey, Joe. So we want to talk about life insurance, but then I also have some notes here to talk about how we get started in investing. And I think we talked about that with Dan a little bit, too, but it's always good to repeat it because we have a bunch of new listeners. Hello, everybody, on 89.9 FM.
Yeah, you know what? When it comes to investing and things that Dan had talked about in previous weeks, that's a part of the overall financial plan. You know, you could start out in many different ways, but really the main thing you got to think about is three things. It's cash management, risk management, and then investment management. So you've got the cash management. Can you pay your bills on time? Can you manage your debts? And do you have enough cash flow coming in more than going out is obviously the idea. But it really the second thing we're talking about today is risk management. How am I going to protect the family? Because you got to protect the number one asset that you have, which is you. Your ability to earn an income is the most valuable thing that you have. So, you know, how do we protect that? So one of those ways to do that, you know, is through life insurance, right? So that's, when is it cheaper to buy life insurance? You know, you want to buy it now or do you want to buy it later? So investing is a very important piece of things. But if you're going to put away, say, you know, X amount of dollars per month and start investing, well, even if you invested for 5 years, if something happened to you within those 5 years, what have you really accumulated to pass on to your family and take care of them if something were to happen to them, right? So doing it from a little bit of a smarter planning perspective, it really is figuring out what your needs are and then covering those needs. And one of the things that we try to do is kind of run a little calculation. So figure out whatever you bring in a month or whatever you spend in bills, so say $5,000 a month, take that, multiply it by 200, and that's pretty much a good target for what your insurance needs should be and what you should be covering yourself for. And then obviously whatever that, if you can afford that much insurance, great. If not, then you can dial it back. But the most important thing is to be covered.
Mm-hmm. So let's say you make X number. How do you figure that formula out of how much you need? And let me point out this. A lot of people have insurance through work. Would you say that's sufficient?
Well, the thing about work is, and I get that a lot, the question that comes up a lot when we talk about, you know, risk management, and it's, yes, I have insurance at work. I don't need any coverage outside of work. But the thing what people don't realize is unless you're going to stay in your job until the day you retire or die, you're putting yourself at a little bit of a risk, because if I go into a job at 30 years old and I stay there for 10 years and I leave that job, what happens to that insurance that my employer was giving me? It goes away. And now instead of applying for insurance as a 30-year-old person, now I'm applying as a 40-year-old person, and the price is a lot different. So
yeah,
you know, the
earlier, the better. It sure is. It's different. That 10 years makes a huge difference in the life insurance cost, that's for sure. So you're better off, like you said, lock in early kind of, so you're not paying more later.
Yeah, Mm-hmm. And it, have your policy outside of your employer. Now, your employer plan mm-hmm. is going to be cheap, and it's going to be inexpensive insurance, which I highly recommend taking advantage of it if you can. But typically, when they're going to offer you insurance, they're going to say one-time or two-time salary. So if you're making $50,000 a year, then in two-time salary, that's $100,000. So if you were to pass away, if the unthinkable were to happen to you, is $100,000 really going to cover your family? Probably not. You know, so we looked for those two real reasons is why we want to have recommendations for insurance outside of the employer.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Now, First Command does financial planning, but I think it's important that, and this is what you're stressing today for my listeners, is that you can invest and, watch your portfolio grow, but you're going to suffer in the long run if you're not protecting your family with some sort of life insurance here, because if something happens to you.
It's really mm-hmm. the responsible thing to do. I mean, and the reason that I wanted to talk about this, I was really passionate about talking about this today is because I've run into some circumstances recently where I've seen in conversations and they don't have insurance or they don't have adequate insurance, and it blows my mind. I'm like, oh, my God, let me help you because your family's at risk. And then we've had an incident, too, last year where clients of ours who had insurance, one of their spouses had passed away, and luckily their family was taken care of. And there was another incident where we heard of a different advisor where that person refused the insurance, didn't want to do the insurance, said, I'm going to risk it on my own, passed away and left their family, in a really tough mm-hmm. bind. So you hear these stories, and you just got to get the message out. I don't care where you buy it from. Just protect yourself.
And another thing people don't think about. Go ahead.
I'm sorry. Yeah, I actually ran a quote, and it's really not expensive. For example, a 40-year-old female non-smoker, $500,000 policy, is about $30 a month for a term policy. So, I mean, that's less than I spend in Starbucks in a month, and you're covering your family.
Mm-hmm. Right. Absolutely. Well, here's another thing that people don't think about. How about wills? That's another thing like insurance. Many people don't have that.
Exactly.
And if I recall, I remember Paul Walker, that actor who just died, he didn't have a will.
Right.
Imagine
Bob
that.
Marley, Paul Walker, these very, very successful, very wealthy people. Well, not Bob Marley in his time wasn't wealthy, but later. And not to not have a will. And it's not an expensive proposition. And it's just so important to have. I mean, things like your IRA. If something happens, your spouse can't access your IRA to pay for medical expenses if you don't have a financial power of attorney. It's a simple document that any great attorney in town can take care of for you, and it's so necessary. So that's when it goes into what we do. It's about all-encompassing family financial protection, so risk management, mm-hmm. cash management, and then we get into the investment stuff.
Mm-hmm. Okay. First Command Financial Services financial consultant. We've been talking to Adam Parks. Adam, how can people get a hold of you to get more information on this?
You can call our office at 630-756-0193 or go to firstcommandnaperville.com. It'll bring you right to our webpage.
And you are not just serving people of Naperville. You're all over, but that's where your headquarters, your base is.
Correct. We've got offices all over the country, actually in different parts of the world. I'm licensed in several different states, but our office is in Naperville. Yep.
Mm-hmm. All right, Adam, thanks so much for calling in, and congratulations on being voted Best Investment Advisor by Naperville Magazine.
Thanks, my friend.
You did great today.
I look forward to seeing you again soon. Thank you.
Are you coming on next week, or are we going to have Dan back on?
I don't know. I'm going to have to find out how I did through him, and then we'll see how it goes.
You did great. You did well. Thanks, Adam,
well,
so much.
You,
and you can also check
out –
Adam's got a – thanks, Adam. He's got an email address, adparks@firstcommand.com. You can reach him that way, too, as well.
It's the Dolly McCarthy Show.
Miles from China, Music City, the job took you away. And I sit alone next to my phone, cause you're afraid I'm gonna stray. Though I found for you the better things to do than spend the night on the shelf. Get out of man, I'll go out by myself. And I'm gonna hit
gonna hit the town. I'm gonna hit the town, boy. I'm gonna hit the town. All I love, won't be nothing. And around the hole, I'm gonna get my kicks, forget that I'm alone. Well, it ain't your decision. I'm a kitten on a mission to find myself a drink and a smile.
Wow. What a voice. Do you hear that? I thought I'd play a little before I have my next guest on. Gina DeGregorio is on the line. Gina, are you there? I hope she's here. Gina?
Oh,
let's try again. Hi, Gina.
Hello.
Hi. Welcome to the Dolly McCarthy Show.
Yeah.
I hear you. Can you hear me?
Great. Yes, I can hear you.
Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Oh, my God. Gina with King by Friday. The band is called King by Friday. And first of all, let me tell you a little background here. I was walking down the hallway. I won't tell you where I was. But I was walking down the hallway, and I heard this voice, and I heard this song. And I thought, wow, I got to stop and check out this band and this voice. And it was Gina. And I said, Gina, you got to come on my show. And here we are. Well, welcome.
Well, thank you. Thank you so much for having me on today.
You guys, so King by Friday, when did this band get started? You're a Chicago-based band.
We do most of the performing in Chicago, yes. We do most of our rehearsing, and we all live out in the north suburbs. But, yes, we're a Chicago-based band.
Awesome. And you are also a music teacher. Where are you a music teacher?
Lake Forest, at a middle school in Lake Forest. I'm actually missing my seventh grade rehearsal. My counterparts are covering for me, so I can make these calls.
Do the kids know you're going to be on the Dolly McCarthy Show this morning?
Yeah, they're excited for me, yeah.
Well, you know they can check out the podcast later on and hear you as well. So hello to all the students over there at North Shore School. You have an amazing music teacher. They're so lucky to have you.
Oh, thank you so much.
You know what? When I watch you perform, I think of No Doubt. You've got a little bit of that in you. What's her name? The singer.
Gwen Stefani.
Yes, you got a little bit of Gwen in you, and people are mesmerized when they watch you perform. The whole band is awesome, but I will have to say that everybody was kind of commenting how amazing it was to watch you, Gina. You have great voice, great stage presence, and this band is, you're releasing something this weekend. There's a big release party this weekend. Is it the song?
Yes. Yeah, tomorrow night, actually, it's our official release party for the song that you just played. We're very, very excited. It's going to be at Fizz Bar and Grill in Chicago, and it's the Lakeview area, and it's a great lineup of bands. The show starts at 9 o'clock, so it's very good.
When do you guys take the stage? So there's a couple bands there tomorrow night?
There's going to be four bands, and they're all great. We're going to go on at 11:30. Low Swans are the first bands on. They start at 9 o'clock, and they're fantastic, too. So,
have you always performed in band? Is this your first band or the other bands you've been with?
Well, all the musicians in our band have had their own projects. In fact, we do a lot of solo playing around on our own as well, and we just kind of drew a bunch of people together from different backgrounds and influences to kind of create a new project to perform around. But I've been performing since probably when I started college, when I was around 18, 19, started performing out on my own.
Yeah.
Other than that, I was a huge band nerd, so I started performing at the age of 10 in my school music programs. So,
all right, we got to be fair to the other guys in the band. Let's do a shout-out to all the guys in the band. There's Jimmy.
Uh-huh.
He's
a bass player.
What's his
Jimmy
last
Cooney.
Name? Jimmy Cooney. Hey, Jimmy. And then there's Kevin.
Kevin Baird, yes, our drummer.
Mm-hmm.
And then Brendan Frank, he's our guitarist.
Anybody else we're missing? We got everybody covered there?
Those are our four regulars. We hired out an extra steel guitar player, Kevin Singleton, for those of us who might have seen us out on the air. But other than that, we're a four-piece. It's just myself, Brendan, Kevin, and Jimmy, and we've been playing together for about 3 years now. So.
You kind of have like a bluesy sound to your band, too. What are your influences? What influences this band?
We are very heavily eclectic. We have, for example, Brendan, his background is Brian Setzer, a lot of jazz, a lot of blues is where we get that influence.
Mm-hmm.
We have Jimmy, who has some metal background but also does a lot of blues, and he brings in his influences. Kevin does a lot of, you know, kind of the Pearl Jam, Dave Matthews Band style of playing. And then I have a lot of folk and indie rock influences as well as some punk. And when we put it all together, it ends up being pretty fun and unique. And we bring in, we have some songs that have some Latin grooves in them. We have some ska-based sounds. And we just have a lot of fun. The big continuing factor in all our music is it's lively, it's upbeat, it's entertaining, and we play what feels good, basically. So.
It definitely is. Are you playing mostly pubs around Chicago or venues in Chicago? Are you playing weddings? What are you guys doing mostly?
Well, we do get hired out for private events sometimes, but for the most part, we've been doing a lot of playing around Chicago and some of the major venues there. Like we've headlined the House of Blues twice. We've been at Double Door and Abbey Pub and Shuba's and all the major venues around Chicago. We've been trying to get in the door there. We've also done some tours out to New York, so we're trying to get around the country too.
Yeah, so what's the goal here? Do you guys just enjoy playing, or do you want to get on the national scene? How does all that work?
Well, at
what's
at
your
the
goal?
Base of it, our base goal is to play music that we love for a lot of people who love it too. That's where we love playing live shows for people, and we like seeing people enjoy our music. As long as that's happening, we'll ride the wave as far as it'll take us. We'd love to get on the national scene. You know, if Dave Letterman's listening, we've got a good act for him. So,
you know, I think Dave might be a listener to the Dolly McCarthy Show. He's a good old boy from Indiana, not too far from Chicago.
No.
Too funny. Well, okay, so how many albums have you guys put out?
We have one album that's currently on iTunes. It's called Living Strong, and that's a complete album. And then we have the King by Friday Black EP, which is a 6-song EP, which is also out. And then we just released this single on iTunes. So
the single called Hit the Town, which
Hit
I played
Town, yes.
Right before Gina came on. And I have to say that's my favorite song out of all of them, but I love all your music. It's pretty cool. So you're on iTunes, King by Friday. You can also check out their website, kingbyfriday.com, and go on iTunes and download any bit of their music. But if you like the song that you heard, it's called Hit the Town. And if you want to check them out, they are playing this weekend. Again, Gina, give them the goods.
All right, we are playing tomorrow night, February 21st, at Fizz Bar and Grill. Doors open at 8 o'clock. The show is at 9. We'd love to see you there.
Awesome. All right, Jay, I'm going to try to make it over there. You got a pair of tickets you want to give away to the listeners?
Oh, sure. Yeah. How does that work?
Okay, could you have like a will call or something, and then I can, I'll send you a message with, we're going to pull a name from one of the listeners that likes the Dolly McCarthy Show or follows me on Twitter. We're going to pull a name, and I'll get you, we'll figure it out from there. But yeah, if you want to win a pair of tickets to go see King by Friday, big release party this weekend, tomorrow night. Like the Dolly McCarthy Show on Facebook and follow us on Twitter, and we'll get those to you. You'll be one of those lucky winners.
Ooh, great. Thank
All
you
right,
so
thanks. Much. Gina, it was good talking to you. Get back to those kids.
I will. Thank you very much.
Thanks for calling in.
Mm-hmm.
You away, and I sit alone next to my phone, 'cause you're afraid I'm gonna stray. Though I found for you the better things to do than spend the night on the shelf. Get tired of man, I'll go out by myself. And I'm gonna hit the town, boy, I'm gonna hit the town. I'm gonna hit the town, boy.
Hey, that was King by Friday. That was Gina with King by Friday. And let me tell you, I was just blown away watching her perform. Like, she was like a Gwen Stefani of Chicago here. You have to check her out. All right. We got to move along here.
It's the Dolly McCarthy Show.
We have our next guest, who's the president and founder of Hearts of Hope, on the line. I'm having a little trouble with the phone today. Oh, here we go. Good morning. Is this Leah?
Yes. Hi, Dolly. This is Leah.
Leah Minalga. Is that? Did I say your last name right?
Close. Leah Minalga.
Minalga. Ugh. I don't know how I got that one wrong. This Italian girl. So Leah is the founder and president of Hearts of Hope. And Leah, let's talk about this. Hearts of Hope. Tell us what it's all about.
Well, Hearts of Hope was started in the year 2000 after I discovered my own 16-year-old son was using heroin. And, of course, for a mother, that is a devastating blow. I went into that fierce, lioness mode of trying to save him, protect him, get help for him. And in the meantime, I realized there were probably lots of people like me. So I started Hearts of Hope, and surely, just as I expected, people came in droves because I live in St. Charles, Illinois, and we were bombarded with heroin in this area, much to my amazement. I had no idea.
Was your son able, let me quickly ask you this, was your son able to overcome his addiction?
Yes, he's grown, and he's an adult. He has a wonderful career, and yet he has, it was a long, long battle, Dolly.
Sure. And so tell us what kinds of things do you do to fight the drug problem in St. Charles? And I'm assuming you work outside the area, too. It's not just the St. Charles area.
Yes, I do.
Are you a nationwide group now?
Yes, we are, and I'm very connected with the partnership at drugfree.org, which is globally drug prevention and awareness group. So we do work outside the area as well. And what Hearts of Hope has been trying to do since the beginning is to alert and educate the public on our kids and their perils with drug use due to that young teen brain. And they're very susceptible to addiction during their teen years because of that underdeveloped, immature brain. Kids by nature are notorious for making poor decisions, not because they're bad kids or because they come from bad families or bad parents, but because they have this brain that isn't fully grown till about the age of 25. And the part that develops the last is that prefrontal cortex, which is also known as our executive center. That's where we make good decisions for ourselves and pick healthy choices and all those things. I feel that because kids are vulnerable to making poor choices, that's why they were given parents. We've got to help guide and steer them in the right direction. And to do that, we have to talk early and often about the dangers of drugs and alcohol, especially on that young, vulnerable brain. Because not only are they kids kind of prone to making poor choices simply because they're naive and they're innocent to the dangers of this world, but also because this brain becomes extremely, this teen brain is extremely susceptible to addiction. You almost never hear of a person coming to drug treatment stating that, oh, I started using in my 40s. I'm not saying that's not possible, but normally children start using in their teen years. I started at 11 or 12 or 13. The other good news about this is if we could prevent our children from using drugs up to, even to 18 or 21 or beyond to when that age of 25 is when the brain is fully developed, they probably would never become addicted at all. That's the wonderful news.
Wow. And those have been mm-hmm. studies that have been done.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Let me explain to people that are just tuning in now, Hearts of Hope, we're talking to the founder and president, Leah Minalga. I hope I said that right, Minalga.
Yes, you sure did.
Got it. And you're a support and advocacy group for families impacted by addiction. It's a non-for-profit organization established back in 2002. Do you have a website that people could go to, Leah?
I sure do. Yes, I do. It's heartsofhope.net.
Okay, and tell me, so I know you're dedicated to, it sounds like you're dedicated to educating the public on how alcohol and drug abuse impact the family, how teens are really susceptible and having to do with the brain and not being formed. But what kinds of services do you provide too?
Well, we provide parent support groups. And that's really our main focus is to help parents learn more and more about drugs and alcohol so that they can help their children. We have drug mm-hmm. treatment referrals. We run grief support groups for those who have lost their children to overdose. And, you know, that's been happening more and more and more frequently because of the heroin epidemic. We mm-hmm. also speak throughout the community and elsewhere, to the public in general at drug forums. We work in the schools, sharing information with students, usually middle-aged to high school-age level. And so our work just doesn't stop. We also do work in the jail, and we have a library and resources on addiction. The mm-hmm. power of, helping your kids is education. And when I look back on what happened with my own son, and I really, I felt I was always a good mother, very attentive, involved in his life. And mm-hmm. what I failed to do was talk to him a lot about drugs and alcohol. I had a couple good sit-downs with him. Drugs are bad. They'll stunt your growth, all those things.
Yeah.
And he assured me
because you never thought he would do it, right?
No, never, never.
Mm-mm.
And then I kind of patted myself on the back and I thought that went well. And the reason I did was because he told me, Mom, I would never do drugs. That's stupid. And yet he was wrong and so was I. And, mm-hmm. Because he's a teenager and because, again, as we were saying, teenagers have that young brain and they also have peer pressure and lots of challenges growing up in this world that we live in today. So they're bombarded with drug influences all over the place. And my
right.
son was introduced to heroin at 16 at a party by his very best friend from grade school. And our
wow.
world changed that day. And Justin always tells me, yes, Justin tells me that when he was introduced to this, like his friend said, hey, try this stuff, you'll love it. Justin
said really casual.
Very mm-hmm. casual, but his heart pounded and he was a little scared. But see, I didn't give him the tools of how to say no. I just said, don't use it. And I think mm-hmm. that he was caught off guard.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't practice refusal skills. He didn't have a plan. And I tell parents now and students, it's not if you'll be offered drugs, it's when. And they'll
when,
all
very...
be offered it. Yes,
right.
at one point or another. And usually it's earlier than we parents realize.
Yeah, right.
It's
earlier and earlier,
day,
that's for sure. Mm-hmm.
Yes, the average
And it's cheaper now,
use.
Too.
Mm-hmm. Well, heroin is cheaper than a six-pack of beer or marijuana. And so it's very tempting and alluring to kids to try it. And it's pure. Mm-hmm. It's available. It's easy to find for these
yeah.
kids. They all
yeah.
know where it's at.
Well, the group is called Hearts of Hope, and we've been talking to the founder and president, Leah Minalga. And, Leah, we know you've been working really hard at this group. And have you been able to... You talk about education. You're so right about that. your programs, and have you been able to get into the work with the school districts out there in Geneva, St. Charles?
I sure have. Yes, we've been into the schools.
You are reaching
the very receptive.
You're reaching the people, the kids that you need to reach. Got to get them early. About what grade are they start? You know, I should know this. I'm a mother of five. About what grade are they starting to teach about drugs? How early is it now?
Well, not early enough. Not early enough, you know, and the schools.
I think I was in seventh grade. I won't say how many years ago that was. I think I was in seventh grade when I first learned about drugs
and
all those shocking pictures.
They did some, yeah, they do some things, you know, even at fifth grade. But, you know, we really need to be talking to our kids about drugs and alcohol from when they're toddlers, when they're young, like healthy choices, age-appropriate things.
Yeah.
And we've got to continue. And we can't just leave it to the schools either. This is something that parents need to know how to do.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to create a dialogue and a conversation, not nagging, yelling, or lecturing our children.
Mm-hmm.
And kids
now, parents
love
said,
talking about this.
Yeah, because it's reassuring to them, and it makes them feel more comfortable to just constantly be reminded. I think it's true. I have had to put reminders in my calendar to have these discussions with my kids because, you know, I've had, like you said, though, you know, you've had those three or four solid conversations and you think you're good, but it's true. When he walks out of the car, what is one of the first things I say to him when he's getting out of the car? Don't do drugs. And
what?
He's like,
you're
mom, my son. He rolls his eyes. Oh, mom. But you know what? I'm going to be that voice in his head when he gets offered the drugs by a friend.
You are so right.
Right?
And you know what?
He's
rolling his eyes, but he's feeling loved and cared about, and he sort of knows, mom's got my back. And it sticks with him. And they, you know, what we forget as parents, especially when our kids turn into those things called teenagers, is that we really still do have great influence over their lives and persuasion. And so they do look to us to instruct them and to guide them.
Mm-hmm.
And they know we have their very best interest at heart. We love them. And so if we do it right, we can make a difference. The partnership at drugfree.org states that 50% of kids who are instructed and told about the dangers of drugs and alcohol by their parents tend not to pick up and use. That's reassuring. That's wonderful news. So we've just got to keep doing it. And keep doing it.
And as educators and parents, we've got to get them to, you know, they have at Naperville North, in Naperville recently they had, and I'm really excited to have our next guest here, but Chris Heron, who's a former NBA basketball player, was just recently at Naperville North at the Fieldhouse. It was an evening thing. It was an optional thing, and it was open to parents in the community, and he packed the house. It was, as a parent, we got to get them to these talks. And Chris Heron, he's going to be talking to me in just a few minutes. He's going to talk about his struggles with substance abuse and how he became alcohol and drug free and how he refocused his life. And we can't wait to hear his story. But I wanted to put the word out about Hearts of Hope, because you are working so hard out there in St. Charles, Geneva area and doing great things. And I've heard amazing things from people that are associated with Hearts of Hope. So I wanted to have you on the show and feature it. Check out heartsofhope.net for more information. Leah, it's been great to have you on the Dolly McCarthy Show. Thank you so much.
Dolly, thank you for having me. It's been an honor. Thank you.
Keep up the good work. My goodness.
Thank you.
It's the Dolly McCarthy Show.
Not easy thing to do, be a parent and fulfill their basic needs and then constantly reminding them to stay off the drugs and watching their every move. And you got to sometimes let them go a little, but boy, you're always worrying about what's lingering around the corner, and it is drugs. They're everywhere, people. And I am so excited to have as a guest this morning on the show, as I said to Leah, he was at Naperville North recently, brought down the house. Kids, families, parents were thrilled to have him because he had such a great message. Chris Heron, are you on the line?
I am. How are you?
Chris, so good to have you on the Dolly McCarthy Show. Chris is, as many people know, he's a former NBA basketball player. And you have quite an amazing story here, Chris, and I guess I will let you start out by you. Let's start with you telling it. You had an amazing basketball career. Not many people knew you were struggling, though.
You know, I mean, I think the struggle is progressive, and, you know, it takes time. You know, we all, not many start off in the struggle, and I think that's mm-hmm. that's the approach we have to take with our kids today. You know, I think we teach too much, too often about the last day of addiction. I think we teach too much about, we talk about the devastation of addiction. It's really hard for kids to identify, you know, with someone dying and overdosing from heroin. It's really hard for them to identify with a crystal meth addict who has no teeth in their mouth.
Mm-hmm.
But
if you
teach them about day one, and that we all have the first day, and we all start off in the bleachers listening to speakers, we all start off in the house where the parents tell us it's okay, drink downstairs as long as you're not driving. You know, that's day one for most drug addicts. Day one is drinking beers and smoking pot. You know, in this country, we have 30 million Americans suffering from this vicious illness of addiction and alcoholism, and 90% of them start off as teenagers. So basically, you know, 27, 28 million people started off as teenagers with no intent to suffer.
Right.
So therefore,
Chris, mm-hmm.
no. So therefore, I mean, I think we need to start incorporating in the curriculum in schools to teach kids about drugs and alcohol and the dangers of and education. You know, more than for a half a year when they're 15 years old at sophomores in health class. I mean.
Right.
This should be part of the curriculum throughout middle school and high school.
So you think it should start as early as middle school? Maybe even earlier than that? Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, I think you can talk about decision making and good choices and consequences, and you know, you can start off at a younger age. But I think middle school kids are ready to hear that. You know, but ultimately, you know, when we're teenagers, the question I ask all teenagers, what is it about you that on Fridays and Saturday nights being you is not enough? Why do you have to put chemicals in your body to change who you are, mm-hmm. to hang out with mm-hmm. your friends? And that
Chris,
question really hits mm-hmm. home to the teens.
Yeah. Well, Chris, can we talk about your story? Can you tell us how it all started for you? Did it happen when you were in your teens and then progress slowly?
I mean, my friends and I would, you know, occasionally take a couple of beers out of our parents' fridge and run off into the woods and drink it. And, it, you know, mm-hmm. I mean, it started when I was 13, 14 years old, just having a couple of sips of beer once in a while.
Mm-hmm.
And then I got to high school, and it became a couple of cans and a couple of.
Did your parents know about your? Did your parents know about you sneaking alcohol?
I think
in the woods.
I think the approach back then, and I think unfortunately the approach now, you know, is, you know, they're kids, and kids
mm-hmm.
will be kids,
mm-hmm.
and.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're going to have to go through that at some point in that phase. So I think at times my parents turned their cheek to it. But, you know, the reality to this, and I think we've become very relaxed with this, is that it's against the law for kids to drink. I mean, parents get more angry at their kids when they get a speeding ticket than they do when they catch them on Friday nights drinking beers or smoking pot. It's against the law. I mean, So is it okay for your kid to walk into a store and rob $150 worth of merchandise to keep it as a misdemeanor, just like drinking in public is a misdemeanor? Is it okay for your kid to do that? And, and why do we? And if you don't accept that, then why would you accept this? And I think that's what we've gotten away from in this country. You know, is that, I mean, the drinking age really is like 14 years old now.
Yeah. It's definitely starting earlier. Do you think it's because parents today, well, I did it when I was a kid, they're more lenient, but they don't maybe realize that now we've got the introduction of these cheap drugs. It wasn't like that when you and I were kids.
Yeah, no, I agree.
So there are more, there's more and more teens getting hooked.
Well, the substances are much stronger. You know, I mean, there's painkillers out there that you can take that are equivalent to taking 20 painkillers. You know, there's synthetic marijuana that have chemicals in it that kids have no idea what they're smoking. There's heroin that is laced with fentanyl that kids are dropping dead all over the country because of it. You know, the substances are much stronger and the kids have much more access to the substances today. You know, there should be a movement to, you know, for parents to lock up their medication. Kids should never have access to any medication. I remember when I was a kid and me and my friends in high school and even in college, we would go over to friends' houses and see what the parents had in their medicine cabinet. You know, if they had any painkillers left over from when their father blew their back out or their sister had their wisdom teeth. You know, that's what kids do. And
so it doesn't take long to progress from a few beers to raiding the parents' medicine cabinet. and then it's you know, then it progresses on to the cheap street drugs.
Yeah,
and
of course it does. I mean, the reality is, you know, I was ranked in the top 10 basketball players in the country. I was a McDonald's All-American. I was recruited by every school in the country. I scored a bunch of points in high school. And from the looks of it, you would never think that there was a struggle internally. Just like you never think there's a struggle internally with most kids because they're kids and it hasn't taken its toll on their body yet. You know, obviously with years put in, the toll takes its toll on your body. And then you can see it. You know, it's out in front of you. With kids, it, you know, they're just starting. And you don't see the effect that the drugs or substances are having on them. But, you know, I mean, I spoke at Naperville yesterday, and, you know, one boy had the courage to stand up in front of 3,600 people and say, you know, I'm a recovering heroin addict right now. You know, another girl stood up and said, I've been abused by parents who are drug addicts. You know, and you see this in communities where, you know, 30 years ago, you would never imagine it. And, you know, that bubble has burst. There is no protection in suburbia. The size of your house, the money that parents make does not protect you from this nightmare. And it all stems from prescription medication, I believe.
And how's that? Really?
Because that's what? Why did it stem from prescription medication? Because I've never met anyone that started with heroin.
Really? Okay.
You know, interesting. We all start off. I mean, I've never met anyone. And as a heroin addict for years, no one ever told me the first drug I ever did was heroin. You know, pretty much everybody starts off in that progression of taking a Vicodin, and then taking a Percocet. And then from the
You hear that, parents? Take note. Take note. That's a shocker for me.
Yeah, I mean, that's how it goes.
That is how it goes. So tell us how, want to talk a little bit more, if you don't mind, Crystal, about your personal experience. So you started with the alcohol, and then it progressed to prescription drugs. And then, what was it that made you turn to that or accept that in your life? Because I want to, that's an important point to make to parents, because, you know, you could have a child who's on the honor roll or a star athlete like you, and you think they got it all together and got it going on, and they're strong enough to say no because they have so much confidence. Obviously, they should have confidence, right? If they're a star basketball player, you obviously would think that, but maybe not, you know. They're teens. They're developing. They have insecurities still to work through. They're not as strong. So I'm just, with your personal experience, if you can shed some light on that progression.
Well, I think what's important is the alcoholism was in my family.
Mm-hmm.
Genetically, I was predisposed. I mean, there's science behind it now today. That if mm-hmm. it's in your family, you're 40 times more likely to go down that path than someone who does not have it in their family.
Mm-hmm.
So your numbers obviously increase, and the percentages of you going down that road go up. But yes, the pressure of being a star athlete was difficult at a young age. Alcoholism in my family was not easy to deal with growing up. And the social pressure of following the line of people who were doing what was the so-called, norm on a Friday and Saturday night.
Mm-hmm.
When every high school kid's greatest insecurities, are muted with alcohol and drugs. And,
mm-hmm.
I think the question, I do this around 250 times a year, and I've spoken in front of 500,000 high school kids. But the question that really hits them the most is, how come on Fridays and Saturday nights being you is not good enough? And they can
mm-hmm.
really identify with that, that the girls don't
mm-hmm.
feel pretty enough.
Mm-hmm.
The boys don't feel cool enough or tough enough, that the substances break down those walls and allow them to be more secure and comfortable. And
mm-hmm.
when we allow our kids to rely on substances at a young age to mute, dull those emotions, what are they going to do when they're 23 years old? And what are they going to
mm-hmm.
do when they're 30 years old? So, I think that's where it all begins, and I think that's what we have to continually ask our kids.
You said allow. That's a key word I want to mention or get into. You said allow our kids to do this. And our previous guest, just right before you, Leah from Hearts of Hope, was talking about how parents need to constantly remind your kids. Do you think that's key to prevention, is always getting those words in their ears, putting those words in their head and say no to drugs, stay out of drugs, don't take drugs today? Do you think that would solve a lot of the this problem?
Yeah.
You think that's what it is, parents?
Well,
just reminding their kids and not being tolerant of this, not allowing this to happen. Drinking with your buddies on a Friday night. And
well, I mean, ask the question: is it against the law?
Hmm. Yeah.
I mean, it's not legal
mm-hmm.
for your child to be drinking on Fridays and Saturday night. It's illegal for them to do so. So any crime
yeah.
out there that is a misdemeanor, which your child would get for drinking in public as a minor. So if we can accept that, then you can accept your child doing other crimes that are misdemeanors. And that right there in itself should be the first thing. Secondly, obviously, keep that conversation within your house. Find out who their friends are, which ones are struggling. Kids often say, what do you do if you have a friend who's struggling? You tell your mom and dad. you know, like before you do anything about your friend who's struggling with drugs and alcohol, you tell your mom and dad about that friend so your mom and dad know that you're hanging out with someone who's struggling with drugs and alcohol. I mean, I had a 17-year-old girl at Naperville come up to me after I spoke and said, my boyfriend's a heroin addict. He's 19. I said, does your mom and dad know? She said, no. And I said, so when you're driving around Naperville and you're in your car and you get pulled over and your boyfriend has a syringe, a needle, and heroin in his possession and you go to jail with him, you know, that's going to be a shock to your parents. And you know, that's the stuff that, you know, and if you look at this girl looked like, you know, the all-American girl, blonde hair, blue eyes, looked like a little cheerleader. And, you know, her boyfriend's 2 years older and he's a heroin addict. And, you know, the parents have to be more involved in the conversation about drugs and alcohol. And it's a tough conversation because as a parent, you think you're doing the right thing and you think your kids are going to be okay. And then you find out, you know, like that woman said prior to me coming on, you know, she told her son that it would stunt his growth. You know, and, you know, there's more.
How about telling him it could kill you? It could ruin your life. It could, you could go to jail.
Of course.
So for Chris, so for you, you know, you struggled for years with substance abuse, and you've been alcohol and drug-free since August 1st, 2008.
Yes.
What was rock bottom for you?
I was in a treatment center. I was found in my car overdosed on the side of the road, and I was sent away to a treatment center for 4 months. And 30 days into it, my wife went into labor while I was, you know, 4 hours away in the treatment center. And I asked if I could go home, and they gave me an overnight pass. So I went home, and it was a beautiful thing. I was there. I was sober. And 8 hours later, I was getting high. And I relapsed, and my wife looked at me, and she was so heartbroken and hurt. And I went back to that center, and a counselor told me to call my wife and play dead. Tell my wife to tell my kids that their dad died in a car accident. And I was going to play dead from that day forward. I was going to move far away and let my kids live. And at 32, that seemed like the best option for me. But I prayed about it that night. I got on my knees, and I've been sober since. And I've lived for my kids for the last 5.5 years. And a lot of work was put into it and still is on a daily basis. But that was my bottom when I realized playing dead was probably the best option for me.
Wow.
So
is it,
you know,
is there,
and that was that.
Is there not a day that goes by that you wake up and think about drugs, think about, do you have any urges? Do you, I mean, we look at the actor, Philip Seymour Hoffman.
Yeah.
You know, he was sober for years, and then he relapsed.
You know, sobriety is a very you know, it's a very personal journey in recovery. There's a lot of anonymity involved in recovery. I never know where somebody's recovery is at. People can be sober for 50 years and walk into meetings and they don't seem 50 years sober. So everybody's journey is personal, private, on where their recovery is at. Do I battle the demons? Kids often ask me that question. Do I ever feel like getting high again? And my answer to them is I never feel like getting high, but there's days I don't want to be me. There's days I wake up where I just feel like being me is difficult. And the day is hard. And the day is hard, and it's been long. And I want to escape myself. And when I think about escaping myself, I turn to substances. not being me comes way before the substance. And I think, again, that goes back to our teenage years, where not being me on Fridays and Saturday nights was better.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what it's about. And, you know, for me, I try to tell the kids, you know, the one thing in my life that I can hang my hat on today is not all the records I broke in basketball. It's for the last 5.5 years, as a dad, I woke up every single morning and went to bed every single night without putting a substance in my body to escape how I felt.
Mm-hmm.
To relieve stress, anxiety, mm-hmm. drink a glass of wine, smoke marijuana, chug a couple of beers. I have not done that for 5.5 years. And I take great, great pride in that. The demon will always be there. I just do what I'm told to keep the demon at bay. And that's how you deal with it.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Chris Heron, former NBA basketball player, just a high school basketball legend, and you played with the Denver Nuggets, the Boston Celtics. You played all over the world, and you continue to share your story with audiences all over the world. And I know you've said before that you just you have the hope of reaching at least just one person to make a difference in his or her life. But look what you've done. You really have made quite an incredible difference to many thousands of young people in this world, and you have the courage to do it, and we admire you for that tremendously. And you founded the Heron Project. Let's talk about that really quick.
Yeah.
Tell us, I know it's a not-for-profit organization you started.
Yep. It's a not-for-profit organization that I started a few years ago. On my worst day, I was seeking help, and I was told that I wasn't allowed to get it because I didn't have insurance. I was 32 years old. I had no money left. And the treatment centers that they were calling for me were asking for credit cards and down payments and $25,000 for the month. And my family didn't have that. And so I started a foundation where I help people who can't help themselves and who can't afford to go to treatment. And we scholarship people to go on to further treatment. We pay for it. We help families kind of navigate their way through it. And 100% of the donations go back to that. Nobody makes money off this foundation. 100% of the donations go back into the foundation, and we are able to send a family, a loved one who's suffering, every 5 days to treatment, and that's it's been pretty remarkable, and you know, hopefully we can send one every day someday.
Wow, fantastic!
Hopefully our society embraces this and treats drug addicts as if they're ill and suffering rather than throwaways. And, you know, and hopefully someday it doesn't cost people. You know, I know a 19-year-old boy, I know his mom and dad, they've already spent $350,000 on him getting sober, and he's 19 years old and he's still getting high. You know, so we're almost $500,000
in treatment costs. That's just unbelievable.
Yeah.
Just unbelievable.
So that's the mission. That's the goal. And, you know, I think we deserve more. I think we deserve better. And I think our loved ones do. My kids have benefited from my recovery. They've benefited from me getting a chance at going to a treatment center. And I really believe in my heart I wouldn't be sober today if I didn't sit in treatment for that time. And many benefit from that, not just the drug addict struggling.
Mm-hmm. When you, like you had mentioned earlier, when you feel like you don't want to be yourself or you're not, you know, you have one of those days, what do you do instead of turning to the substance? What do you do?
I pray. Okay. I pray, and I go to meetings. I surround myself with positive people. I don't jeopardize my recovery by hanging out in places that I can lose it. The people who I associate with today, you know, have the same goal in mind, and that's to stay sober and to be dads and husbands. You know, I did a lot of damage in those years, and my oldest boy, who was 9 when I got sober, he suffered somewhat. I don't say sorry. I don't apologize. I just do what I'm supposed to do every day to make my amends to stay sober for my children. And that entails work, and that entails giving back, and that entails faith and meetings and conversation. And it's kept me sober for 5.5 years, and you know, I'll continue.
Mm-hmm. Now, as a parent, for parents that are listening, as a parent, do you feel that you're doing all you can to, you know, prevent your children from, you know, experimenting, trying out drugs, or, you know, parents want to know, is it enough that we're having these conversations with them? What else can we do? What should we be doing? You know,
I think as a parent, one great bonus that parents today have that my parents didn't have the luxury of was walking into a CVS and drug testing your child. You know, I mean, you can buy a drug test kit at Walgreens, at CVS, and wake them up in the morning and say, you're not, you know, you're going to take this drug test and we're going to see if you're telling the truth. And, you know, that's a luxury that parents have today. They can know immediately. Parents don't have to catch you in the act anymore. They don't have to smell your breath when you walk through the door. They don't have to search your car. They can literally find out in seconds what's in your system. Unfortunately, a lot of parents are scared to find out. And by the time they find out and they want to
know. Or they use the, you know, Chris, they say, well, that's, you know, you got to trust your child, you know. That's violating their, you know, that would be violating my child. Well.
You got to trust a child. You know, they're a
child. It's a child, right. Mm-hmm.
You know, like,
and you're the parent. Remember that.
You know, that's the key word in this. You know, you're not friends. You're not buddies. You know, that's your child. And if there is any suspicion of your child going down a road of suffering, put that trust aside. You know, that's the last thing you want to do, because you'll look back like my mom did before she passed away and say, I wish I did more. I wish I intervened earlier. And, you know, I wish I didn't have that parental, you know, trust in my child. Because once the child goes down that path, you know, all bets are off.
Interesting. Well, it's tough being a parent, that's for sure. But, you know, listening to you, Chris, as a parent myself of 5 kids, I got to tell you, I'm going to be having a conversation with them more about this. And you are right about that. We are the parents. We're not their friends. And they're just, they need us. They need us to be on them. And because it's just, it's a horrible road to go down, as you know. And as a parent, it's, you know, you're helpless. There's really nothing you can do once they go down that path other than loving them and hoping for the best, really. But, well, you've really given us some tools and an understanding, and we appreciate that. You also – go ahead, Chris.
No, go ahead. I'm sorry. I wanted to say thank you, you know, and I know, you know, you are keeping this conversation out there and creating it and sustaining it. And,
you know, I think that's what's important. So I want to thank you for having me on today. And, you know, this community will be in my heart forever. What I experienced last night at yesterday at Naperville could never and would never leave me. I mean, it was that powerful and emotional. And
the kids, you know, Naperville has been, it's a, you know, it's a wealthy community. And so, you know, that whole stereotype that, oh, it's not in our community. We've got good families here. These families are involved. These kids, you know, they're not deprived of everything. But it's true. You know, it can happen anywhere. And in the last few years, heroin has, you know, reared its ugly head in this community and taken a lot of lives of young people. And I think, and I applaud the parents in this community for just standing up and saying, no, we're not going to tolerate this. So they've had speakers, there's been workshops, they bring in, you know, celebrities, famous people like yourself that really, you really reached all those kids last night. There was, it was quite, the feedback that I saw on feedback and that I heard from you, you really reached a lot of children, and you probably even saved many lives last night, Chris. And I think that's probably what keeps you going.
Yeah, it does. it definitely does. And I don't, you know, I don't want to get into, for me, about saving lives. I just want to inspire conversation. I want to inspire a kid to walk out of that gymnasium or that auditorium and say, you know, if he can talk about his, then I can be transparent and talk about mine. And if I can get a 16-year-old boy or girl to say, hey, I'm struggling a little bit. You know, I cut myself. I self-harm. I'm a victim of bullying. I literally feel a lot less than my peers. And I need some help. Then that day is a success, and if I can do that, then that's all I ask for. So, but
well, Chris,
thank you,
Chris Heron. Thank you very much for all of your work, and we appreciate you telling us your story and sharing that with us, and all the work that you put into encouraging people of all ages to stand up to substance abuse. And as a parent myself, I thank you too for really getting an idea of what maybe I could do better. I wish you all the best. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Take care.
If you'd like to know more about Chris and hear his story or perhaps even have him at your school, right, Chris, you can go to his website. It's www.theheronproject.org. Thanks again, Chris, so much.
It's the Dolly McCarthy Show.
Chris Heron, what an incredible, incredible man. Learned so much from him today. I think we could have kept talking for another hour, but our show was supposed to end a half hour ago, and we still have something good to talk about. Good inspirations with Michelle Lynn Gus. She's here with us now. Hi, Michelle.
Good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for holding. You're the best. I'm sure you were listening to that. And
I was.
So it's so important to get as much as we can out of Chris so we can help these kids. And my listeners, a lot of them are parents, a lot of them adults. So such an important message to get out to him, from him. So we are talking with Michelle and Gus now. We're going to shift gears a little bit. For all the month of February, we've focused on relationships, and this is week three, and to continue with the relationship theme. And this week, the topic is why forgiveness is crucial to relationships. Michelle, what do you think?
This is a big one, and I've talked a few times about that. I'm working a lot with divorced and separated women, and between my own experience and working with others, this is so important. So there's two pieces to this. The first one is that it's easy in talking about in a current relationship, meaning like if you're married or something like that, it's easy to, in any relationship, actually, it's easy to be angry at someone for something they said, something they did, even if they didn't realize what they did or said. But what we don't realize is that how much energy that we use on that if we hold on to that. And I had someone ask me not very long ago about something that was upsetting me, and he said, well, how much energy are you going to invest in that? And I realized it made me really wake up to that somebody had hurt me, and it was like, you know what, I'm not going to invest the energy in that. And so it's important to acknowledge when someone hurts you. I'm not saying you shouldn't acknowledge it, you should just gloss over it and act like it never happened. I'm not saying that at all, because if you acknowledge it, that's part of the processing. But it's also important to tell them, but not to do it in an angry, charged way, meaning take a deep breath, maybe let a little time pass and think about what you're going to say before you say it. And it's very true, we should never go to bed angry. And that's something that's very, very true, and I'm guilty of having done it, and I'm sure a lot of other people are too. But the more we get in the routine, even if it's hard to do it first, so it's not, does it feel routine? It doesn't even feel good. It feels awkward. But the more we get used to doing that, the easier it is. And it also helps that person realize, because a lot of times when somebody's upset us, they don't even realize they've upset us. They're just sort of doing the thing, and then suddenly we may have been upset. Really, if we think about it, it may not even be really what they did so much as that there were five things that happened to us before that, and they were the sixth thing, and we were just tired of everything we were faced with in a day. So the other thing I want to come back to, this is particularly when I was talking about the relationships that have ended, and it's really hard, especially when we watch, and you said, you were just saying that a lot of your listeners have kids, and that means when there is a divorce that there is communication that has to continue to some extent because there are children involved. And this person, the other person, may have gone on to another relationship, which is really hard for the person feeling like that they got left behind. And so I believe what's really important is that you be in the present with that person who has moved on, and that you have to let go of that past, that hurt, because you cannot change it. You can't go back and do anything about it. But again, you can choose how much energy you put into it. And then you also have to not think about the future, because you don't know what the outcome is of anything. We can sit here and be in our heads all day long and imagine things, but that doesn't mean anything. That doesn't mean it's going to come true. And so we really have to be in the present. We have to let go of the past, let go of the future, and just be right there in the moment with that person. And like I said, it's a challenge. You really have to grin and bear it because it's uncomfortable. You don't want to do it. You feel angry. You feel hurt. But the more we force,
and you know what, and I'm right, and you're wrong. that's what they're
exactly
thinking. And so, why should I forgive you when I'm right and you're wrong? Or in extreme cases, you know, when there is murder, rape, there's things like that. There are people that I've seen on TV, read about it, that have been able to forgive their rapist, their someone that murdered someone in their family. And I am in awe and amazed at the forgiveness there. But it's good for you, like you said. It helps
absolutely
the person that has suffered, and that's almost more important, right? That's very key. That's really important. The part of forgiveness is you're doing yourself a favor.
Absolutely.
You're not carrying around all that hate.
Well, you don't need to. I mean, we've talked so much about life is too short, and why would you want to do that? So it takes work. There's a learning curve to it, but it's well worth the outcome in the end. And then you find you're happier, and you also find that a lot of things that didn't need to bother you don't bother you anymore because you realize it's not worth worrying about or being angry about. And none of us can predict, again, can't predict the future, but we also can't change the past. But what we can do is be here in the moment and really control how we react to what happens around us.
Yeah. And it's never too late to forgive, right?
No, absolutely not.
Wouldn't you say?
Absolutely not.
It's been years since you've talked to your sister. Hey, what's holding you back now? Pick up the phone. Right? Mm-hmm. What do you say to that?
Because you never know. You never know what life's going to hold. And you don't want, the new thing is, something happens to someone else and you're like, oh, I should have, I could have, I would have. You don't want to be in that place either.
Mm-hmm.
So why not just take care of it now?
Yeah.
And go forward.
And even when you said, getting back, why forgiveness is crucial to relationships, I mean, It doesn't have to be a big fight where you have to forgive. It could be little ones, too. You have to almost forgive every day sometimes in some relationship.
Absolutely. Before you go to bed. I mean, we all, you know what, I say stupid things, too. And I know, and I'm very well aware of where they come from. But the other thing is you have to remember somebody else is bringing, I joke that we all have this luggage we bring, and we have varying shapes and sizes. And I could say something that could totally affect my boyfriend, you know, because of his, but I don't know all his past, or he doesn't know all of my past. And it could be, you know, something that just seems like nothing to me, but could be a big deal to him, or vice versa.
Right.
And so
right.
It's not that I'm saying we should walk around in eggshells either, but just being able to, that when you do say something, that you do make someone upset, that you're able to say, hey, look, it's okay, you know, this is, and be rational about it. This is what happened, this is why it upsets me, all right, let's move on.
Right. You know, everybody's affected by this. I myself have been affected. I've had someone close to me. I'll give you guys a little glimpse into my life. It's not comfortable for me to talk about this, but you know what? If it could help somebody, I've had someone close to me all of a sudden cut me off, just cut me off and my kids, my family, and it was very painful. It was like a death. 2 years later, she came back into my life, and she said to me that she misunderstood me, or she blamed herself for not clarifying something that I had said. It was, you know, years of being there for this person, being generous and kind and being there, and then I apparently said one thing, and she cut us off. And then 2 years later, though, she came back asking for forgiveness. She was not in a good place, didn't know what was going on, didn't realize some of the things that were going on in her life, and she asked for forgiveness. And it was very painful what she did to me, but I felt I needed to forgive her. Because everybody has their crosses to bear. They go through things. And even though it was a really painful experience for me and my children, we got through it. And I'm looking forward to a new, more mature, refreshed relationship with this person. And it feels good to forgive. It really does. And I know she feels a tremendous load off her back that I've forgiven her. It's a love fest. It's a wonderful thing to forgive others and ask for forgiveness too, to recognize that something you did wrong and to ask for forgiveness. There's nothing wrong with that. And if they don't forgive you, I think eventually they will. But if they don't, at least you know in your heart that you did the right thing.
Absolutely.
Listen to me giving the advice today.
all I do is inspire it. And then
you
take
inspire
it.
Oh, my goodness, Michelle. InspiredByMichelle.com. Check out her website there. She's got a Facebook page and a Twitter. What's your Twitter handle, by the way? Is that what you call it? The Twitter handle?
It is, and I think it's a funny spelling of my name. But if you Google or if you search for Michelle, I had to drop some letters off my name to make it work. But I think if you look up Michelle and Gust, I come up.
You'll still pop up there.
Right. It's Michelle without the last L and E. Michelle and Gust, all one word, but I had to drop the L and E off my name, the last
That's
L.
That's like a Mitchell.
Exactly. Exactly.
We'll find you. We'll find you.
A Winchell donut.
Well, thanks so much, Michelle, for your good inspirations every week. And next week, we have our last week about relationships in February.
Talk about listening and how we don't always need to fix. That sometimes somebody just needs to listen.
Are you a fixer? Are you listening?
I'm trying.
Interesting.
I thought you were actually asking me.
No, I'm asking my listeners to think about it. Are you listening? Are you really listening? Or are you just waiting to get that person to finish so you can say what you got to say? Happens to
and
a lot of us.
And how you're
going to
fix
for
it for them. Or how you're going to tell them to fix it.
Yeah. Or tell them where to go. I'm just kidding. All right, to read more about Michelle, or to learn more about her, I should say, and get inspired by her, you can go to her website, inspiredbymichelle.com. Thanks so much, Michelle.
Thank you,
for your contributions today. And with that, now it's time to end the show on a good note. Stay positive, everybody, and be good, everybody. Be good to each other. Be good to yourself. And thanks to all my great guests today, Adam Parks from First Command Financial, Gina DeGregorio, who is the lead vocalist and keyboardist for the band King by Friday. What a voice she has. Leah McNalga, who is the founder and president of Hearts of Hope. She's a support and advocacy group for families impacted by addiction. And former NBA basketball player Chris Heron, thank you so much for sharing your experience, your struggles with addiction, and how you were able to overcome it and inspire thousands across the nation with your story. And finally, to Michelle and Gust, our author and speaker and contributor to our Good Inspiration segment. Appreciate you all listening. If you haven't liked the Dolly McCarthy Show on Facebook, please do so and follow on Twitter. I will be picking out two random winners for tickets to King by Friday's concert tomorrow night and to the Lady Antebellum concert next Wednesday. Yahoo! Please do, like I said, like the page and follow on Twitter so you have a chance to win. Good luck to you, and thanks, everybody. We'll see you all next week. Thanks for listening. Bye-bye.
Wow, I feel good. I knew that I wouldn't. I feel good. I knew that I wouldn't. So good, so good. I got you.
Thanks for listening to the Dolly McCarthy Show.